Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics Show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and today I'm very pleased to have on the show the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Illinois. He's Dan Brady, who is from the Bloomington Normal region in downstate Illinois. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to be on today.
Robin, nice to be with you. Thank you very much for having me, and it's my pleasure to have the opportunity to visit with your listeners.
Well, I've got to start off by saying I understand you have some roots or background, some knowledge of the Quad City area in your past.
I certainly do. I'm a graduate of St. Ambrose University in Davenport, and also spent time there when I was in school as the voice of the St. Ambrose Fighting Bees for home football games then at John O'Donnell Stadium, and also a few basketball games at Assumption High School when they played over there. But now I know the stadium's out there on Brady Street, and of course the Bees have their own facility for basketball. So, but certainly love the Quad City area, and had a great time my time at St. Ambrose with a lot of family members that also went through Ambrose.
Yeah, it's a great area, and it's nice when candidates come on to have the local ties like that to be familiar with our area. I like to ask candidates running just why they're seeking the office they are, and share a little bit more about your background and qualifications.
Sure. Well, thank you again. First off, I have served as state representative in the 105th District, which is, as you indicated earlier, primarily the McLean County area, parts of Livingston County and central Illinois. And I serve as deputy Republican leader, where I've been in the House first elected in 2001. And my particular focus has been, prior to that, was in county government. I was elected in McLean County Coroner and served two terms and involved. And was very involved in organ and tissue donation, distracted driving, in particular for our teens, and other road investigations related to fatal accidents in our particular area at that time. And I also dealt with the Secretary of State's Office of Bomb Squad Division, believe it or not, on a very difficult case that we had involving a pipe bombing in my jurisdiction at that time. And so my particular gravitation to the office has been through those particular exposures, as well as my interaction with actually Secretary White. I worked with Secretary White on a number of initiatives, in particular organ and tissue donation and legislation that I've had, and also senior driving issues related to our seniors and trying to improve safety on the road for them and for those around them, and helping with their insurance premiums. So I really like to say I've aspired to the office. I haven't been recruited for the office. In the Republican primary, I was not part of a slate. I ran as a Republican and was fortunate to win every county in the state of Illinois, with the exception of one, my opponent's home county. So it really was a grassroots campaign. I was certainly did not have the resources as my opponent did, was outspent, they outraised me, the list goes on. But nonetheless, I'm the Republican nominee, and I look forward to it. So it's a little bit of my background. It's certainly an office that I've aspired to.
Yeah, that was a very impressive win in the Republican primary, and as you talked about, you have both executive and legislative experience. This office, I'm curious. I mean, most people in their mind associate it with the driver's license facilities, and we'll talk about issues like that. But really, there's a lot that the office is responsible for. And what are your top priorities in the office? Say their top three or four priorities if you're elected, as it relates to some of the various services the office provides.
Well, there's no doubt that the number one priority, and what you hear from folks on the campaign trail, and I did, was obviously cutting the wait times, providing services, streamlining those services. And let's face it, as you indicated, Robin, this office comes in contact on a daily basis with more Illinois civilians' lives than any other executive branch office. And yes, it's primarily for the driver services. But also, you've got to keep in mind that in those driver services, many other things that are responsible in this office, everything from being the chief librarian to having its own Secretary of State's police division, as I indicated earlier, to business articles of incorporation filing, to titles that deal with new vehicles, new trucks, CDL licenses, and the list goes on and on and on. Everything all the way down to something that's so important called being a notary public in this state. And so as the chief record keeper, the Secretary of State does much more than just driver's facility services, and also has a limited role in election responsibilities from a federal mandate called motor voter, registering people to vote. So that's just a few. And back to your earlier, you know, question of running, I gave you my background and given you some of my priorities in streamlining these services and enhancing technology, which is really holding the office back, I believe. But it's also from a political standpoint, this is the only executive branch office in the state of Illinois to where there's not an incumbent Democrat seeking reelection. Secretary White is retiring.
Yeah, that usually means for our listeners that an open seats are more competitive than a seat with an incumbent running. I'm curious. I mean, I guess I sit here and think about it. I just got my license renewed and I didn't have to take the driver's test. But is there a day you envision maybe where this could all be done online to some extent, or will people still need to come into the office physically?
Well, I think I think it really boils down to personal preference. If you talk to some individuals, seniors in particular, across the state, they still have the interest of being there in person and getting that special assistance that they need, that they, quite frankly, are tied to as taxpayers, like all of us are. But certainly much of the services that Secretary of State's office provides and has made some improvements from the technology standpoint, remotely doing things online, online appointments, helping trying to streamline the process. But we could take it much further than that. We can, for instance, in California, Michigan, other places across the country, services are in grocery stores to be able to renew your stickers, and in particular, almost like easy teller machines, if you will, and being able to do certain things that are much less involved from a standpoint of technology and having to have someone there with you to do it at the driver's facilities. Now, that's not going to work for everybody, but we certainly, I think, number one, could reduce down the volume of traffic and the things that do take time at our facilities across the state of Illinois, and then looking at and reprioritizing the over 96 facilities, roughly, that we have throughout the state of Illinois. And one of those areas, Robin, is talking about fully staffing these facilities. My review and discussions have been that the facilities haven't been fully staffed for some time. And the other is cross-training, making sure that those particular individuals who work very, very hard and are in difficult situations, because what they need is they not only need the leadership at those facilities, but they also need the technology and the upgrades and the help. And I certainly have a plan to address that as well.
As someone who cares for his mother, my mom's 91, and I can tell you that if I wasn't there, she'd be very susceptible to scams that target seniors. It's incredible how often that happens, and I'm sure our listeners are shaking their heads right now in agreement. I noticed you want to enhance senior services. Does your scope of your mission, Dan, extend to kind of cracking down on scams, or is that something outside your scope? And what would you do to kind of enhance services for seniors?
Well, first off, in enhancement of those services, yes, I want to do. And there's a couple different ways that I talked about through my platform in doing that. First, though, the Secretary of State's office does maintain the data and the database for what's called no-call list. In other words, the calls that come from phone solicitors, the scams, if you will, that are out there. The Secretary of State's office plays, I think, a very important role in trying to reduce that and protect consumers. And quite frankly, obviously, as you indicated regarding your mom, a lot of seniors are more susceptible to these types of scams. And so I think that we could certainly improve upon the no-call list and the real block of trying to protect our seniors more from those scams. And that also gets down to the education side with seniors. The other area to look at with seniors as well is you hear a lot of the mandated testing every year that the individuals getting to be a certain age requires drivers ages 81 through 86 to renew their license every 2 years, and those 87 and older to renew annually. There's been three states, Illinois, Indiana, and New Hampshire. Indiana, New Hampshire has made changes in those areas, and I think Illinois needs to look at that as well. And then the other area to protect our seniors and help our seniors is mobile response. In other words, a number of my colleagues across the state prior to COVID would have mobile Secretary of State's facilities at maybe a district office of a state representative or state senator. And that was something that was a more or less a Secretary of State's joint project with a senior fair, if you will, and having those type of services there and in an environment to where seniors feel comfortable, whether it's at the local YWCA or MCA or whether it be at a state senator or representative's district office or some other type of senior facility and services. I think having those type of outreach and bringing those back would be important, very important and helpful to our seniors as well.
Yeah, there's no punishment steep enough for those who try to prey on seniors, in my view.
And
I think what you do, anything you can do in that area will be greatly appreciated, but not only a lot of seniors, but a lot of family members like me.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly, and also that my legislation that I passed talking about defensive driving for seniors and being able to remotely take particular defensive driving courses, the 8-hour course that's required that could help them not only reduce their insurance premiums, but allows them, especially this era of COVID, to be able to remotely have the ability to take, start, and stop these courses and keeps them in the comfort of their own home to do it and still helps them reach a goal to where they could not only have help on insurance premiums and possible reductions, but meeting the requirement of the defensive driving course. So that's another outreach to senior services that I did as state representative. And so when you talk about seniors, there's lots of areas that we can make improvements on and help our seniors.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Dan Brady, who's the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Illinois. Dan is a state representative from the Bloomington-Normal area. He's got some ties to the Quad City area, and he's been laying out the basis of his candidacy and some of the specifics of his platform and his priorities if elected as Secretary of State in Illinois. I noticed you talked about better driver's education. That function is provided by local high schools mostly. But what role would you have in that, and how would you facilitate better training?
Well, it is the responsibility in driver's education courses with some schools, and I won't get into all the details that go into that. But when you talk about the ability of driver's services for our teens and how we can enhance those, one of the areas is partnering with those schools. Now, you have the ability of the private driving teaching facilities, school behind-the-wheel courses, but there's also something that has been brought to the forefront across the country that is a program in which it's called Tire Track, and it is a combination of businesses that have, from a private partnership, put together the ability for students to actually drive the vehicle they'll most likely be driving, and on courses to be able to, behind the wheel, see how a 2,000-pound vehicle is going to react or not react, and what problems there may be. That, I think, is an invaluable type of training that I would like to explore more and partner with the schools and the Secretary of State's office. I think anything we can do, and when we talk about distracted driving, especially for teens, and we talk about training, the more behind the wheel and actual real situations that we can provide to those teens are going to help them, I think, much better. There's also the technology side of things of legislation that is pending in the General Assembly about the ability after completing and only after completing either a public school, private school, or a private facility behind-the-wheel courses that the student may be able to receive electronically their license, pick it up at a Secretary of State's office, therefore not doing the particular behind the wheel test that so many are used to. That may also be something that we could help with the line and taking valuable employees out on these road tests, when quite frankly, if the students just pass something in the schools, why are we doing that? And making sure their training, I think, is so important from the emphasis of behind the wheel training, and I want to partner that. I also would like to bring the Secretary of State's office, law enforcement division, back into the schools. They were there once. Let's be part of that driver's education course. Let's talk about what a vehicle actually is. Let's talk about what a title is. Let's talk about what a lien holder is. Let's talk about what happens, ladies and gentlemen, if you get yourself in trouble with the law from the standpoint of an administrative hearing, how you lose a license, the problems if you lose it, of trying to get it back. And so I think all those types of things are certainly things that we can explore and partner with our public and private schools and private facilities across the state of Illinois.
In talking about driver's education and distracted driving, I've got to ask, has the time come to look at cracking down, doing more to prevent texting and driving? I was just on a long 1,200-mile trip, and I see a lot of it, of especially younger people, I have to say, although some adults too. And it's obvious they're looking down at their phones while driving, and sometimes at pretty fast rates of speed. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, certainly, Rob, and you're right. I think we're probably all guilty at some time of being distracted. And that phone, while it may be something someday we actually do a lot of driver services from the Secretary of State's office on apps and expand that, it also can be a device that is very, very dangerous. And when you're behind the wheel and you're paying more attention to that device than you are 10 and 2 and focusing on what you're supposed to do, driving a vehicle, it becomes very dangerous. And so law enforcement obviously has had the means from a standpoint of legislation that enhances what they're able to issue ticket-wise. That's one deterrent. But I think more so than anything, we talk about and can show students, I think through some of the courses that I'm talking about, the dangers out there. Now, how you're going to, you're not going to totally prevent that. But when I was counting corner, I always thought to myself, if I never have to knock on someone's door of a family and tell them their son or daughter's not coming back home because of a fatality related to some type of distracted driving, those are the type of stories that we can share and hopefully reach our teens with. Those are the type of things in a classroom setting and behind the wheel, especially behind the wheel, that I think we can make a greater emphasis and attempt to let those students know how dangerous this really is.
Along with the your call for greater partnerships with schools on driver's ed, I think one area that perhaps is more obscure that people don't realize that the Secretary of State in Illinois has a role in is with libraries. And I think this is something, I mean, I was thinking a couple of years ago, libraries with the advent of the internet and all would be maybe go away, but they're not. In a lot of cases, they're coming back stronger than ever, to a place where people get together. What are your ideas for prioritizing local library development and, of course, the major role they play in communities?
Well, as we talked earlier in our discussion here, the Secretary of State is the chief librarian of the state of Illinois. Over 5,000 libraries throughout Illinois comes under the heading, if you will. Now, most all have local boards, trustees, et cetera, but the chief librarian is Secretary of State. So I'd like to prioritize the grant and budget funding that we have presently going on and make a greater focus on what are we getting for that investment of those dollars, whether they're state grants, whether they're federal pass-through dollars administered by the Secretary of State's office. But for the upgrades in particular in rural libraries for wireless and internet capabilities, some that don't have that throughout the state, in certain areas, I'd like to make that a priority, number one. Also, number two, I'd like to see that we utilize our libraries and equip them for remote renewal services, like I talked about earlier, that Michigan and some other states have done, and where you can go in and actually renew your sticker right there at the library. And then also making it a hub to better explain and allow individuals to either register or learn more, at least, about organ and tissue donation information to be at those libraries, and ensure all libraries remain strong for those, obviously, who are searching whatever knowledge. And so prioritizing in a lot of those areas, seeing what we're getting for our dollars, not just simply saying, here's a grant for X amount of dollars, do with it what you will, being more involved. And I think that would be a greater service to all Illinoisans.
I've been thinking through, as you've been talking, your comment earlier in response to a question I had about the Secretary of State's office is the office that's most used by citizens on a daily basis, and even more than governor. And I think that's a profound statement, the importance of this office. And I hope listeners are getting an appreciation for the range of services provided. I think it's a natural tendency for people in elections to want to expand the scope of what offices do. You're talking about mainly, it sounds like, improving what is already done. What are your thoughts? Are there any new areas you'd like to get into, or just keep focusing on what the core mission is?
I think we need to focus on what the core mission is. And if anything, I learned throughout the Republican primary and traveling to the state of Illinois and listening to voters was simply get the office to where I don't dread having to go there, or I won't have to pay a few extra bucks and willingly do it so I can do it with a private firm that will take care of the renewal and the aspect of what I need so I don't have to stand and wait there. Change that, create that, Dan Brady, and you'll have my vote. And so that's, you know, that's the basic. It's kind of like for municipality governments and all government, quite frankly, fix the potholes first,
right,
and then talk about other, you know, great plans and that are wonderful. But the core mission, Robin, is what I am talking about focusing on. And the core mission, the most tangible that people deal with is driver's facilities in the state of Illinois. And a couple points to that. I think, number one, we look at, and as I said earlier, fully staff and cross-train those employees in those facilities. Number two, identify, I'm not going to be able to come into office if elected and take a magic wand and make everything work better and overnight, but we can identify and surround ourselves with some of the best and brightest in technology and identify where the greatest delays and problems are in these facilities, where we're spending over $10.5 million out of a $474 million budget for leases alone in these facilities across the state of Illinois. As I said, some 96 or maybe a couple more by now. And also look at how we have an idea and plan that I have to try and partner with our community colleges for those facilities that have the worst wait times. And we have 38 roughly community colleges across the state of Illinois, 38 districts, 9 alone in the Collar and Cook County areas. Look at how we can partner with those facilities. Most of those facilities have space they want to lease. All of them have the technology upgrades already in place that taxpayers have paid for. And they all have safe, accessible accommodations. And they all have something called public transportation to them. And a lot of them would be very interested, I think, in learning more and partnering with the Secretary of State's office for being a hub or for being a place where that service could be provided. And so that's something we want to look at as well. The technology's there, the infrastructure's there, and the taxpayers are already paying for those services.
In the General Assembly, you remember the Elections and Campaign Finance Committee giving you an interesting angle anyway on elections. I have to ask this, because of the role that local election authorities are playing across the nation right now in determining the fairness of elections. Do you feel that elections in Illinois, which, again, I'll emphasize, is primarily a local responsibility, but do you think they're fair and secure, and do you feel Biden was legitimately elected in 2020?
Well, let's go to the secured side of things. In this day and era of the ability to breach, hack, people's personal data and information is something we constantly have to guard against. And go back to when vote by mail was first rolled out by the Secretary of State's office in the state of Illinois. It was just something that was a complete mess from the standpoint of people receiving these letters, being confused on what they could do. There should have been team effort with local election authorities. And so how we can make sure we partner, as I said, with some of the best and brightest, our local election authorities across the state do a tremendous job. And we need to learn from that. The Secretary of State's role as motor voter in a federal mandate registers people to vote. One of the things I'd like to look at, though, is certainly that the Secretary of State's office right now, from a digital standpoint, provides a signature from your license or ID card automatically to your voter card. And so on election day or prior to that, that election authority looks at your card and tries to compare signatures from what they have from your card to what's in front of them with no training. What if we were able to, in this era of digital technology, to enhance and secure the election process, have the actual photograph that is automatically put on your FOID card, for instance, to be actually digitized in front of an election judge so they know who's standing in front of them. That would certainly enhance the integrity. We can only do that if people agree to it. But it would enhance the integrity and aspect of the elections, I think. That's one area. Do I believe that President Biden won the election? Yes, I do. He's been serving as our president, and there's all kinds of theories to all that. But some of the things I'm talking about, enhancing the election process, you know, let's make it easier to vote but harder to cheat.
Dan, I got time for one more question. Got about 160 seconds here. Just sum up your candidacy. Make the closing argument to listeners why they should elect you in 60 seconds, please.
Sure. I think my background, my experience that I've outlined in our discussion this morning, my legislative and county service, my legislative in particular, working with the Secretary of State's office on a variety of issues, from organ and tissue donation to senior services to articles of incorporation of businesses and legislation, insurance, and things that I have done from a legislative standpoint. And I think the other is a hands-on approach, an individual who's going to be the type of Secretary of State that's going to be at those facilities. And as I say, you won't just see my picture hanging on the wall facilities. You'll see me at those facilities. This is an office about public service. It's not about public policy, and we need to restore that public service. I believe I'm the best choice, Dan Brady. You can go to VoteDanBrady.com. That's VoteDanBrady.com to learn more about me, my background, and my campaign and platform.
Very good. Dan Brady's been our guest today on Heartland Politics. Dan's from the Bloomington Normal area, downstate Illinois, running for Secretary of State. He's the Republican candidate in this November's election. And I hope listeners got a better appreciation of what is involved in the office. And again, it's the office most people have the most interaction with in state government. So, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to be on today.
Robin, thank you very much. And thank you to your listeners. And we look forward to visiting with you again soon.